Hey, growers of the world, thank you for tuning into GrowCast today. We have Mary Beth Sanchez back on the line, doing a lot of bug talk lately, so we had to get Mary Beth in, and she talks about her go-to strategies for pest control, and she talks about pests and how they work. She talks about the amazing Dr. Zymes, of course, always loving Dr. Zymes, and I know you're going to love everything she brings. We do love Mary Beth. She is quite the special guest. Before we get started, let's give some love to Cultalux, one of my favorite partners of ours. Cultalux, CMH, HID Lighting, the industry leader in CMH lighting. Just go to Cultalux.com. Promo code GROWCAST10 gets you 10% off your Cultalux lights. And members of MyGrowPass.com get 25% off their Cultalux lighting. Founded in New Orleans, Louisiana. I know that was bad. I'm sorry. Cultalux is proud to be the pinnacle manufacturer of LEC lamps in the United States. They have 315, 630 watt, and 1000 watt ceramic metal halide bulbs and fixtures. And boy, are they effective. If you haven't tried CMH, Cultalux is a great option. They are an industry leader. You can go to Cultalux.com to see everything they have going on. Cultalux.com, promo code GROWCAST10 for 10% off. MyGrowPass.com getting 25% off. All right, everyone, let's get into today's show. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River. Thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please share GrowCast with a friend, with a grower, with a smoker. We appreciate you spreading the show. It really makes a difference. Give us a good rating and review. You'd be surprised how much that helps the show. Check out the Homegrown Helpers with Rob Smith for more growing talk. And my other show, the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast, which featured Mary Beth, actually, who is today's guest on GrowCast. What's up, Mary Beth? How are you doing?
Super duper. Just loving my isolation.
Yeah, how's it going out there? I know you're living in the middle of the woods anyway, so I doubt there's any or much change to the daily schedule. But how is it out in, were you in Hayfork kind of? Mid
well, let me tell
California.
You, the traffic was low before, but boy, the traffic is really low now.
The traffic is so low,
but,
it's no.
It's interesting to, go to the post office and see they have shower curtains hung up in front of the stuff. Okay, well, I guess it's better than nothing.
Shower curtains? Damn.
Shower curtain, yes, literally. You can see the little magnets at the bottom where it
is. Yeah,
well.
Bust open an Amazon box and get to work.
They're trying.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Man, oh man. Well, a lot of people are doubling down on their gardens in this time. A lot of people are, if they're not in their cannabis garden, they're building one. They're ordering the tents. I actually just ordered a tent and it came pretty fast. I was worried that I was going to get like a COVID delay and have to like wait for my tent.
Oh.
For, you know what I mean? But it came right away. So got to keep GrowCast going strong. We've had kind of a pest theme on the show here, Mary Beth. We had the great Greg Bryant in from the Beneficial Insectary. What a nice guy Greg was. Really, really enjoyed that interview. Yeah, love that guy.
Yeah.
Then Mary Beth Sanchez, that's who I'm speaking to.
That other lady.
Then the bug lady, the other lady came on, the other bug lady.
Yeah.
And love Suzanne. She was dropping knowledge, giving us some hot takes.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, why don't we follow it up with Mary Beth Sanchez, who, you've given some great advice on natural farming. You've given some great advice on pests, but we've never really gone down the list and gotten your recommendations for protocols for specific infestations. So I want to do like a strategy style episode today for the GrowCast listeners to arm themselves with knowledge and tools to battle pests. Does that sound good, Mary Beth?
Cool. Knowledge is power. The more you got, raise your power level.
God damn right. Love that. So let's see. What order are we going to go in here? I would like to go with a kind of, bad to worse or a common to less common. Why don't we start with something simple? Why don't we start with fungus gnats? Fungus gnats. Maybe you can talk to us about fungus gnats, how they work, how to prevent them, and how to take care of them if they get bad.
Those nasty little creatures. Well, they have an interesting life cycle. They really are harmless when they're in the flying around the canopy stage, except for the fact that they are flying around and dropping eggs out of their little places where eggs drop out of. Okay, and then that's where you have to start. If you have a beautiful, lovely organic soil, those eggs love a beautiful, lovely, moist organic soil.
Boy.
And for most people, you know, they want to grow organic and they don't want their plants to dry out. So they have a lovely, moist organic soil. So when the adults are flying around and dropping their eggs, the eggs drop into that soil and it's the perfect place for them to hatch. Mm. And so when they do hatch, they will start going right down into your roots and they'll start eating your roots. And it's the little larvae that are eating your roots that are causing all the problem. And it's the little larvae that are the easiest to kill, especially when they're brand new. You know, if you can see the fungus gnats have come into your garden, one of the easiest ways, if you're using sticky cards, you can see if they're stuck on your sticky cards or not. You know, right off, you know, or if you're just paying attention, look at your canopy, because the gnats will always be flying in the canopy because that's where they want to lay their eggs.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, not eating your plant. They're just laying the eggs of the little guys that are going to eat your plant.
Chew on your roots.
And
yeah.
So there's a couple of really good ways of just preventing their existence in the first place. And one of that is just a physical barrier on the top, which I have done before in two ways which have been really effective. One is like getting a material like frost cloth or something to that effect, row cover cloth, thing like that, and something that you can water through, okay? But it's a physical barrier that the egg cannot penetrate. So the egg that the gnat is flying around laying doesn't lay on fertile ground, and
wow.
It just dries up and dies. And the other way is a couple inches of sand, especially outdoors, this works really well because the sun being so hot will dry the top of the sand really quickly. And when those little eggs fall on it, they just dry up and die right away.
Ah, love it.
And or very, very quickly. And so, you know, the fungus gnat has no chance of having a larvae hatch. So that problem is eliminated. Their life cycle is only, about a month or so long. They're really not a long-lived thing. So if you can just break the life cycle, you only have to deal with it for that length of time, and it should be diminishing all the while. Now, if you're lucky and you have good biology in there, hopefully some fungus population nematodes, that may prevent those things from getting established in the first place. But if you don't, you might wake up one day and go, oh my God, what's wrong with my plants? And you check the roots and notice they're being eaten alive by fungus gnat larvae. Oh, but darn, what did I do? Well, probably you had lovely organic soil, which I always recommend, but I do want you to protect it with something on top, especially if you tend to overwater, because most of us do love to kill our plants with kindness. That's the most common way, is overwatering. And yeah, you know, especially when you're new and you just think, oh, water is good, make it grow, you know. You can really overdo it, especially an organic soil will take so much longer to dry out normally. So you really do have to give it a little time to do that. And so anyway.
Oh, my God, that was a beautiful
overview.
What you want
to do is, get those gnats larvae while they're young. And so if you don't have enough biology in there to get it done, you'll know by the fact that you've got all the pests in there. Okay, so like you may have thought, well, I have nematodes in my soil, but obviously you don't if you have this pest out of control.
Ah, I see.
You don't. If you have, you don't have enough.
So reapply.
They left already because they didn't have, any predator has to have a pest to feed on. So if you're pest free, your predators might just go away because they're hungry, or they might just die.
I see.
And then all of a sudden you didn't realize because you thought you were covered. Boom, somebody arrives and surprise.
Exactly. So is it about reapplying then?
Yeah. So what happens then, as I tell people, well, then you have to do something more dramatic. You have to do a drench. And of course, with me, I'm always recommending the Dr. Symes because that's the thing that I have found works for me the best.
Well, we love it because it's not
of all the various things I've tried. There, you can do various different things to drench with.
Is it effective? Honestly, is the Dr. Symes effective in a drench with fungus gnats specifically?
Oh yeah. Love it. Definitely.
Why not use it then?
People have totally sold their crops with that, and so you just use it at the normal rate and drench the soil. You know that your gnats are going to be, the larvae are going to be at your root zone, and your root zone is going to be about, so many inches deep, depending on the age of your plant, the size of your pots, and you just want to make sure that soil has been drenched. And if it doesn't happen in one application, maybe you have a problem where you need to do that a couple of times a week, maybe for a few weeks until you don't see that anymore. But it can't be more than a month because you will have broken the life cycle by then, assuming that you're mixing it correctly, which is, as I keep telling people, it's 2 ounces for prevention, 4 ounces per gallon for infestation. And you want to warm up your water to like 90 degrees for optimal best results, because it is an enzymatic product and enzymes do like a specific temperature and a specific pH, which is about the 6 to 7 range. So,
so fascinating.
Warm your water up, add your enzymes, then check your pH. Adjust.
Oh, Mary Beth, you just came on and just, you're golden. I love this.
Well, so many people have done this and said that it took care of all my problem. I don't have a problem. Oh, and here's the other thing. A lot of people who like to grow with biology, they've got soil full of those little, I want to say Swarovski, Amphicillus Swarovski, the little darling mites. They live in the first half inch of soil. And they're worried that, but if I drench with the enzymes, it's going to kill off all my little predator mites, and I'll be very sad. And I say, well, you know, I know a lot of growers that use those mites, and those mites are very good at reproducing, and they aren't going to be wiped out by this. They will be set back somewhat, but they aren't going to be wiped out, and they bounce back. Usually, according to the growers, they know that using usually in a couple of days, maybe a week, you know, they're fine. Your source KIs are going to still keep bone tripping, and they're going to keep doing what they can for the upper canopy plants. They're more on the, like I say, they only do the top half inch of soil, that particular mite. They're not going deep down. They're not going to get your fungus gnats. They're only going to get things that are in the lower canopy or the top of the soil.
Man, it's beautiful.
So anyway, that's with gnats.
So we drench, we get rid of the gnats. What do you recommend? Mm-hmm. Do you recommend the indoor growers do sand too on top of their soil?
I would.
Yeah?
If they think they have, you know, the warm enough lights. But because it being sand and not organic matter, it's not real friendly to the eggs. So it should still inhibit the hatching of the eggs as they fall, even if it isn't as bone dry as it would be maybe under the sun.
Okay, right.
Especially
on.
Because like now that. We like the nice, cool LED light so much, we're maybe not going to be drying that out so much.
No, that's
but
true.
Still being or non-organic sand, but by non-organic, I don't mean, you know, some cow synthetic. I mean,
yeah. If you look up rocks, they're not considered organic. Yeah, it doesn't have the classification with the.
And of course, you don't want to use salty. You don't want salty sand. You want like playground sand or river sand, you know, something like that. You don't.
Oh,
want,
good point.
You know, be putting sea salt too. Into your plant.
Yeah, but then also you mentioned. I love the sand. You mentioned the traps. I was a big fan of those traps, but really, are they just indicators? They're not really stopping much. They're just showing you, hey, you have gnats.
Well, you know what? They can, you know.
Or do they really make a difference? They knock some down? Like they can put a dent in their attack?
Yeah, but here's what drives me nuts is when I started hanging up sticky traps, and I'm also big on, you know, the predator insects, and what I was finding was my sticky traps were full of my predator insects.
Oh, right.
And I'm very depressed about this.
Right, good point.
I didn't want to see that.
I guess it all depends.
I really saw not that many pests and more predators, and I went, no. So the only times I use those is maybe if I have a situation where flies are out of control, maybe near a place where there's some manure-type fertilizer or something. The flies sometimes get real excited about that.
Right.
And for that, I might put up something for those flies, but I'll try to make it a situation where I'm not going to be catching a bunch of my favorite little insects in there.
Right.
The worst thing that ever happened once was hanging a fly strip in a barn where there was lots of flies. Didn't have any idea this would catch a small bat. And one morning I woke up and there's a bat in there.
Oh, man.
It came unglued. I didn't know how to deal with it because I couldn't take it out without ripping it up. So I'm not a fan of those big fly strips because they can catch small mammals. That's
wow.
Too much for me.
Yeah, you know, from personal experience, yikes. And
that was traumatic. I got PTSD from that.
PTSB. For B is
PTSD,
for bat.
Yes.
Had to make a bat joke. I was going to make a Wuhan bat joke in bad taste. We'll just move on. We'll move on from there.
There you go.
But
next.
Next, exactly.
Well, it is a multi-pronged approach, and it works really, really well, especially if you can get some little physical barrier. And if trouble starts, we'll throw something at it. But always go for the least toxic solutions. And for me, that's the doctor's signs. If the insects aren't getting it, you know, go ahead and put the zymes, and then put the insects on locally. This is what I tell people. Drench it, wait till you see there's no problem. Then go ahead and flood it with some nematodes, you know, the next week or something. Give that a chance to dissipate a little. And go ahead and go back to the insects. But, you know, right now when you've got something that you have to kick in the ass hard because it's kicking you in the ass hard, you know, you've got to get in there with some power and start kicking.
Right. Absolutely. God, I love you, Mary Beth. You're
with
the best.
That mixed martial arts we got.
Damn right. Absolutely. Big fan of the mixed martial arts.
MMA in the gloves.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Before we get back with Mary Beth, let's shout out Dr. Zymes. We love Dr. Zymes. Of course, how apropos with Mary Beth on the line. Just go to drzymes.com, drzymes.com. Promo code GROWCAST10 gets you 10% off your order. And members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off their Dr. Zymes. The amazing Dr. Zymes Eliminator is a revolutionary green solution that kills and eliminates soft-bodied insects, molds, and mildews on your indoor and outdoor gardens. Listen, you've heard Mary Beth talk all about it. It leaves no residue. You can spray it anytime. If you spray it with the optimal pH and temperature, you will have great success in eliminating soft-bodied insects. It's a great choice. It's perfect for prevention. Again, OMRI listed, all natural, leaves zero residue. If you don't have Dr. Zymes in your garden, you are missing out. And Eliminator is handcrafted to ensure quality control. And remember, it also does not clog the stomata like many other natural pest control solutions. So go to drzymes.com, promo code GROWCAST10 for 10% off, mygrowpass.com for 25% off your Dr. Zymes. Let's get back to Mary Beth, everyone. Spider mites. I want to move on to spider mites. Talk to me about spider mites. Tell me everything about spider mites. The devil himself. Because I know there's multiple types of spider mites. Yes. And is it important to identify them? Do you treat them all the same? Talk to me about that.
Well, you know what? You can identify them for some purposes because some are easier to kill by some pests than others. But, you know, I find they all succumb to the doctor's hands pretty well, especially if you start working it preventatively. But I've also noticed that, you know, this is the same instruction you get off of any pest prevention program, whether it be with the insects or with some other product entirely. You always want to start preventatively. They will always tell you that in their instructions, that you need to begin before you see an infestation. You need to have these things going on in your garden, you know, whether it's the biological bacteria that prevents it, or, you know, the Dr. Zymes that'll make sure that if anything comes in, you're never going to get it built up to a chance to become a problem, because you'll have knocked it out. If you're using that weekly, it never gets a chance. And it's also not going to clog my stomata, where certainly the products tend to be a little more cloggy. There's no way around that. It takes about 10 days, you know, to say 7 to 10 days for oil to dissipate off of a plant. It will dissipate, but that length of time, if you're spraying weekly, means they really don't have any time without the oil. So I'm really just personally into less oil and more breathing. Well, I don't like breathing with a sock over my mouth. You know, if I don't have to, I can breathe with a sock over my mouth, but I so prefer not have a sock over my mouth.
Yeah, an oily rag. Breathing through an oily rag is certainly possible. But,
yes, it's so true. Because who doesn't want to breathe freely? And yeah.
No, that's a good point.
So pertinent in today's climate. And the key is also to kill these things when they're young, at their youngest stage. The older they get, the tougher their little bodies get. So, you know, you may have discovered an infestation while you had a lot of adults, it's going to be harder to kill them. If you had been acting preventatively, you probably would have killed everything at a very juvenile stage, or would have had very few adults left, you know, laying eggs. They're laying eggs all day, every day. So
right,
that's the issue with
that
those.
Is the
now,
issue.
There's a lot of really good mites that also lay egg, you know, predator mites that are good. If you want to use those, you just have to have plenty of them out there, because they'll reproduce even faster than the pest mites will, which is their benefit. But
you need the population, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's what Greg Bryant said, too.
With them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you need, and that makes it less applicable on larger scales, which is unfortunate.
Well, yeah.
Not unapplicable, but less applicable, right?
Nothing can be really free unless you're just lucky enough that the pests are already there. I mean, excuse me, the predators are already there.
Right, that'd be nice.
Balanced and loving. But hardly anybody has that kind of a garden going. I mean, we got to deal with the fact that not everybody has their situation set up, and they still want to be saved when something unexpected happens.
Yeah, that's
you've got to have something for them. So, you know, although I recommend that everybody uses, compost can beneficial insects primarily, sometimes the stuff goes wrong that nobody anticipated, or our situation isn't quite as idyllic as we wished it was.
Yeah, there's never.
Lab conditions
never
are one
perfect.
Thing, and real world conditions are another. And surprises can happen, and unexpected visitors can arrive and really blow your mind.
In all sorts of ways they can arrive. I think that's key too.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to mites, it seems like they're the herpes of the grow pest world. You can go ahead and clip that soundbite out. But
they're
passed around between the growers, I feel like. You get your dog in the grow.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to bring in some mites on that nice dog and trouncing around in your plants.
Even a passing bird or a bug, they can be, right on their body.
Hitch a ride.
They're so small. They can hitch a ride.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You see the electron microscope pictures with the, little isopods, which are lovely little bugs. And they've got somebody getting a ride on them, or a white fly, and it's covered with broad mites that they're just taking a ride to the next plant.
Yikes.
The next garden.
That's like a biological weapon. That's absolutely horrifying.
And you think of how small a white fly is, that it's got these riders that are so tiny. I mean, you really can't see them until they are at a ridiculous rate. So if you're doing something preventatively, you've got such a better chance of surviving and of winning the battle.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, you're beyond hope. Sorry.
That's true too. And that's always the tough call, whether or not to cut your loss, start a new run. I like the preventative. I like the physical barriers as much as you can. I like the preventative spray. My understanding is Dr. Zymes is particularly effective, against mites, soft bodied insects, like mites, as they say. I also want to throw out GrowCast10 to save 10%. Just here in the episode, if you're going to buy Zymes now, GrowCast10, and then members of MyGrowPest.com getting 25% off their Zymes.
Yeah.
Of course, we love Zymes. But we got the preventative spray, we got the physical barriers. If it gets really bad, is there anything we can do? Bump up the dose of Zymes? Do we eventually call it quits and cut our losses when your plants? When that webbing gets bad and they're going from plant to plant, I mean, Jesus, it builds up. Mm. They take over, man. I've seen some pictures.
Oh, yeah, because think of all that population and all laying several eggs a day, and then in sequence those eggs are all hatching, and they start reproducing just about immediately.
I mean, thriving.
Within at least a couple of days of birth, they're laying eggs already.
Yeah.
And so, you just have to really be on it. And if you see that your infestation is worse than you thought, don't make a stronger dose of the Dr. Zymes. Just apply it more frequently. In other words, you may need to apply it 3 days in a row 1 week. Give a couple days off to your plant, maybe 3 days in a row the next week. Just you have to keep assessing as you go whether the population is going up or down. But we recommend the 3 day in a row thing if you really think you have something bad, because it's kind of like being, a left hook, a right hook, and a kick in the groin.
Yeah, throwing the combination.
Just kind of get them down so that you really have a better chance of winning. You don't want to let them have a chance to recover between blows.
Right. I was just referring to the, didn't you say it was half the dosage for preventative, and then you bump it up if you have... That's what I was referring to for upping the dosage.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
For infestation, we recommend 4 ounces a gallon, but never more than that.
Okay. Yeah. Just make sure I got that
people
right.
People don't. Right. People forget to pre-test on a plant, and sometimes they'll go strong and regret it afterwards. I always tell them, I know sometimes it'll fry your leaves if you've overdone it, but don't panic because they will grow back very quickly. Just give it a chance.
And
I also have fried leaves
in
my life with, overzealousness because I, knew something was going on. But they did come back very quickly, and everything remained clean after that.
Right.
And healthy.
That's right. Yeah. So it's always a tough call. I mean, people try to physically remove them, try to vacuum off their, off their buds.
You can do so much, but
yeah,
they're like latched on like a tick, they're very tick-like animals. They just latch on and they... start sucking away at your plant's juices and making your plant miserable, and you start wondering why it doesn't look good because you can't see it. It looks like a newt problem, you know, especially there's so many inexperienced crows out there. You know, you can't fault them because they don't know everything. Of course, they're going to be encouraged to try. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, and learn those lessons the hard way a lot of the time, unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately, but hey, boy, do they stick.
Exactly, yeah. Once you're traumatized, they'll stick. That's exactly right. Do you feel that when it comes to mites, spider mites especially, I'd say, I mean, I guess a lot of pests, but don't you think that a good pruning job, you know, if you bottom your plants properly and you get rid of all that extra foliage, I imagine that extra foliage would provide more highways for mites to go from one plant to another, more coverage from your foliar applications and things like that.
Yeah, it's always good to have more air circulation. So, you know, the thing isn't, if your growth space is really densely packed with a lot of leafage, you're not getting much air circulation. So, you know, just, if nothing else, prune somewhat for that. But as far as, like, if your plant has mites on it, it's going to have mites on it, whether you prune those off or not.
Okay, right.
It'll just stay on the leaves that are there. But
there are a lot of downsides to not doing that bottom pruning,
though, I feel. I'm very big on... Yeah, I try to get people to, I know it's really hard because everybody's got that, let's squeeze in as many as we can mentality, but you got to try to give your plants some space to not be touching each other.
Oh, wow.
And it's
that is hard, Mary Beth. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yes, because they start small and then, you know, when they get big, all of a sudden they're really involved with each other. And, you know, even if you're pruning out for air circulation, you still have, you know, branches from one plant touching branches from another plant, and
sea of green, not puddles
so
of green. You know what I mean?
Sea
of green, it's not puddles of green. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is. And it's so much harder to spray when you're in a really squished, crowded situation.
That's true too. Yeah.
You know, but you really need some space around there to get in and under the canopy where the pests are hiding. I see so many people spraying from the sides and the top of the plant and going, why are you doing that? You've got to just get down to the bottom of the plant and spray going up. You want all the undersides of all the leaves and just work your way up. You really want to get the trunk and those stems, those branches, because that's the highways for the little pests. They spend most of their time on the undersides of the leaves and hiding in those little crevices and, you know, where the nodes come out and all that sort of thing.
That's where all the action is, yeah.
Tiny.
Got to get under there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the more you can spray underneath, the better off you're going to be, because there's always spray from underneath that's going to fly up through the leaves and fall down on the top. You'll always get some spray on the top. But you're wasting your time if you just go in and start spraying your plants from the sides, as I see people do so often. It's clear to me why it's not quite working for them, because they're really not getting to the pests so much. They're wetting their plant in the wrong place.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Concentrate and it's under the leaves.
Kind of been a while since I talked about this, but that kind of upward hooking motion is so key, especially if you have rows of plants, if you are doing like a sea of green, which I know isn't your favorite, Mary Beth, but you shouldn't just be
standing. Oh, no, that's a great way to grow plants.
I know, that's, yeah.
You know,
it's just
the olden days. That's how we did stealth growing in the old. We couldn't have your neighbors seeing stuff. You had to pin it down to the ground. But we didn't have these nice training things in the olden days. We had to literally took like pins and pinned the plants to the ground to make them spread horizontally instead of right.
Well, a lot of people don't want to get down there and get under those leaves, but that's what you got to do. At least get the wand under there and that kind of hooking motion where you go through and up, you know, and then you go into the next aisle, through and up, and hopefully you can get full coverage as best you can. Again, pruning is key, man. I like to see, if you get down on your knees and look underneath your plants, you should just see like a petrified forest under there with no vegetation, and then just a nice even line where the nodes begin, and just a frickin' block.
Yeah.
And what Rob Smith would love you to see, that, you know, Atlas Plant Trainer, GrowCast fame, is a nice even canopy on the top. That's something I didn't pay nearly enough attention to personally, which is, you get the bottom right, but then you want that nice even canopy on top, just like perfecto. So yeah, I'm right there with you.
Right. Oh, I just was thinking about, you know, I always want to caution people when it's their new growers and they get excited about pruning off leaves. It's kind of like somebody with scissors doing a haircut. They don't know when to stop. You got to remember when you're pruning off your leaves that the leaves are the things that bring the food. The leaves are the things that photosynthesize and feed the plant. So you don't want to take off so many leaves that you're like removing food from the plant.
That's so
funny. You just take off the ones that are really not getting a lot of light because they're in some place that's always in shade.
Right.
You know, something to that effect. So
I feel like that's kind of been a big 180 too, because there was like a big defoliation movement for a while. And now I feel even the synthetic guys, a lot of them are, you know, like Dr. Coco, leave the leaves, that whole campaign he's pushing. But it's funny because when they're topping and bottoming, a lot of time growers, I feel like, aren't rigorous enough, but they're very quick to pick the fan leaves, pick the blockers. Maybe consider tucking those blockers instead. Yeah.
Well, you know, if it's not getting any light, that's one thing. But, you know, so many of them, you know, it's just a matter of where the light is at this point of the day. I have seen some plants that are ridiculously dense. So, yeah, go ahead and clean that inner section out entirely.
Right.
The outside, the only thing getting light, it's always dark in there. So, you know, go ahead and improve your circulation that way for sure.
Yeah, circulation gotta be key in a good grow. Do we cover mites? Is there anything we left out? Yeah, totally.
No, the pest prevention, the air circulation, and the climate is so important. Just if you are not comfortable in your grow room or your grow space, the mites are probably very comfortable, and your plants are probably as uncomfortable as you are. In other words, you want your temperature to be something that you could, you know, go naked or at least topless around your grow space, but you don't want it to be hot and muggy.
Is that what they like? Oh, right.
Well, it depends on the mite. Some like it higher humidity and some like it lower, but they usually do all love the heat.
Those bastards. Just like you said.
Those bastards.
Pure satanic. They're satanic minions.
Yes,
certainly.
Oh, God, they are.
Have you seen them up close? Muggy. They're not one of God's creatures.
Man, the spider mite. The two-spot mites, I always call them, they look like little dancers. They're up there like doing cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha, cha-cha.
They dance
around. They're so cute. Then you spray them with the Zymes, and then they don't dance anymore. How sad is that?
Aww.
Well, the little russet mites, when I see them under the microscope, and they look like Times Square, New York City, and then you spray them with the Dr. Zymes, and they don't move anymore.
Right.
Yay, this is working. Okay, all it has to do is contact their body. Now, if they're hiding in a crevice or deep, deep, deep in a flower, you've got to really think about where are these things. You don't ever want it to get deep, deep, deep into your flowers.
All right.
You really have to be preventative to make sure that you don't have any problem when the flowers come. You can spray the flowers with Dr. Zymes, but you know, you can't guarantee penetration in a dense flower. And most people are trying to grow dense flowers. The denser, the better.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the way I was told.
There's just nothing you can do. That's one of those things of you should have had better prevention. There's just nothing you can do.
You're definitely going to have a bottle on your hands if you're letting it get that far.
Wow.
And I know the people's fear of spraying flowers is strong, and especially if they've never heard of good times. You don't have to worry about getting the flowers. You will have no residue. It doesn't have any systemic power to remain in the plant or to harm anything except those soft sucking insects.
Mm-hmm.
And the powder mildew and such, same thing.
That's so wild that it affects both of those.
Well, they're kind of made of the same things. The small insects and the little molds and things are kind of like chitins and lignins and things like that.
That surprises me. That's wild.
So it's kind of the world challenge. If you get the right stuff, you can do it.
It's fucking magic. I love it. I feel like if we squeeze in, we have like 15 minutes of aphid time, if you want to talk aphids. I feel like we've covered aphids a little bit, but let's do it again, just for fun.
Well, those little darling little pests.
What can you tell us about aphids?
Well, it's like they just come overnight. All of a sudden, you just go, what the heck? How did they all get there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they're so lovely at blending right into the color. So even if they were visible to the naked eye, Jesus, you don't see them until, especially like me, I cause without the reading glasses, I'm getting close. I'm not seeing them at all. Uh-huh, I rely on these younger kids in the garden to say, oh, look, you have some aphid over here. Ah! No, gosh. That's it. Well, one day I was spraying for aphids on a plant to Dr. Symes, and it works really well. It kills them really quickly. But what I hadn't seen, which was also identical color to the leaf, was a bunch of little caterpillars that were on the edges of the leaves, just eating them away.
Oh.
And they just started falling out of the tree. I went, what the heck? Like, looks like the caterpillars hate this stuff too. Until the caterpillars fell no more. Wow. So I discovered it also works on caterpillars if you can contact their bodies. Whoa. Now, here's the problem with cannabis and caterpillars is the moths are laying their eggs in the buds, basically. So when that thing hatches, like, you didn't even know there was an egg in there. And as soon as it hatches, it starts eating your flowers from the inside out. And all the while that it's eating, it's crapping. And it's eating and crapping continuously until it turns into a little, you know, cocoon and makes a new butterfly moth or whatever. So it's really hard to attack those in the bud unless you have been spraying preventative. With moths and caterpillars, in the buds of cannabis, it's not like you have a swarm. You have to stand there all day and spray moth by moth as it came
in.
Oh,
God, that's
horrible.
They can
go as they please.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've seen them flit around the garden. It's not like you get in a big swarm that you can go, get them. You know, you'd literally have to be standing there. So something like netting, if you have a caterpillar problem, mosquito netting or bug zappers, things like that would help prevent them in the bud.
Jeez, that's brutal, man.
Of course, that poop. The poop will cause the botrytis, and the cannabis can get botrytis
right.
from other reasons. But Dr. Symes is also one thing I recommend for the botrytis prevention. It doesn't grow mold, so it won't start mold.
And it'll kill off the caterpillars if you can contact them, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I had somebody tell me about, well, the caterpillars, they had been in there so much that even though, they were spraying with the signs and they were falling out, they had already crapped in there so much that everything just smelled like crap. It just ruined the crop for them. Like, prevention.
That's fucked up. I've never heard about that in outdoor grows, but as an indoor grower, I never run into that. I'm sure it happens, though, probably. I mean, if they get in your garden, they get in your garden.
That's it. Well, that's where the physical barrier comes in. And indoors, you've got your walls, but outdoors, boy, you need something.
Right. That's a really
Sometimes
good point.
The moth will come indoors, but not near as often as outdoors, boy.
Yeah, no kidding.
It really is.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. Nice touching on the caterpillars. I like that there. Let's touch on aphids, though, before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
Zymes? Always Zymes? Any other methods that we should be coupling it with?
Well, I would try the others, but they've never worked as well with me, and it kept things as clean for me. So it's always my number one choice, but not everybody has that choice available. So whatever, choice that you're going to use, you really just have to get on it from the beginning of your grow. Assume you have bugs, even if you don't have bugs. Even if you can't find one anywhere, do the preventative maintenance to make sure that no bug has a chance to really build up an infestation. You know, maybe I think your plants would be healthier with Dr. Symes than, say, some kind of oil-based thing. But if an oil-based thing is all you have access to, just be sure that you're doing that preventative maintenance all the way through and not waiting until you see that things are going wrong. Because then it's so much more stressful. It's so much more stressful and so much more expensive in that way to try to fix it, and so much greater likelihood of failure. And that's losing everything, and besides going through that stress.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Some people do have to feed their families this way. You really have to think about what losses can I afford. It's expensive to grow with preventative maintenance, but it's even more expensive to lose your whole crop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So yeah,
all those factors,
like you said. Yeah, that all has to play into the farmer's decision. That's why being a farmer is tough. That's why it's so hard. Is there anything we can do? There's kind of like a root flying relation, again, similar to the fungus gnats, but different there. Can you talk about that? And is there anything we can do with a barrier on the soil, like a sand or a diatomaceous earth? I know the diatomaceous earth is no good when it gets wet, but anything we can do there?
Right. Well, they're basically up there, and they've got ants and things that are trying to protect them. As a matter of fact, the ladybugs, even to a certain extent, will not kill off all the aphids because they also want to eat them. they don't want to, you know, be without their food source. So they're not necessarily, you know, they're not going to eradicate the problem for you. If you really want to get more hardcore elimination of the aphids, get them way down, you've got to use some kind of a spray thing. But it's, if you can do both, you know, like a lot of times I recommend to people, what I like to do is I'll alternate my Dr. Science spray, my compost tea spray, and the predatory insects. So if I keep hitting them with something like that, they're getting so abused. At some point, I'm going to be the victor.
You're going to win the battle. Yeah, you're going to break. You know what I mean? You're going to rout the enemy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
precisely.
I will not be desperately worried that if I have done something really too much for my plants to bear.
That's so great.
That way,
I love
just
it.
Just really keep hitting.
Absolutely love it. That is the Mary Beth way. That's why we love you at GrowCast, Mary Beth. We had a couple, there's more. There's always more GrowCasts. I would love to have you back on
again.
Before we sign off, though.
Oh, you make it easy.
At MBSIPM on Instagram, Growing Wild Garden Supply. I mean, shit, it's all essential right now, but usually when
yes,
go and check it out, I would say drive on down there and say hello, except maybe not right now, but Growing Wild Garden Supply, drzymes.com, growcast10. Is that all there, Mary Beth?
That sounds fine. Anytime, come on by if you have questions, or direct message on Instagram, anything like that. I'm open.
Love it. Love
there
it.
You go.
GrowCast listeners, you know what to do.
Love it too.
At GrowCast. At Jordan River, IG.
It's always a pleasure talking.
At MBSIPM. It's a pleasure too, Mary Beth. We're signing off, everybody. Be safe out there and grow smarter. Bye bye, everyone.
You have a good one.
That is our show for today, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Loved Mary Beth. Shout out to AC Infinity, the best fans in the grow world and beyond. ACInfinity.com, promo code GrowCast15 saves you 15% off. We're loving our partnership with AC Infinity. They make the best fans, smart fans that have readers and alerts kick on at certain times, at certain temperatures, at certain humidities. AC Infinity has the best fans in the market, everyone. Go to ACInfinity.com, promo code GrowCast15. Shout out to Start to Finish Consulting, Start to Finish 710 on Instagram for all your consulting needs. And shout out to Jay Blanked for doing the beat, soundcloud.com/JayBlanked. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Make sure to subscribe to our Instagram, doing lots of lives and giveaways. Lots of fun. All right, everyone. Best of luck in your grows. Be safe. Talk to you next time. Bye.